Welcome to the CEN Show, a platform where we learn from the world community. I am your host, Rasakee Maskani, and on the panel this evening, we got our regulars. We have Professor Amin Ra, we got Brother Ahi, and Brother Mashinda. We have multiple guests for this evening, and they are an organization called the Shield of Valor. It's a security organization. And I will let them tell us about themselves and their organization. And our topic for this evening is the various levels of trafficking. So that's an interesting topic. And I think we really need to get educated on it, because when I first started talking to them, I didn't realize that there was various forms. I was thinking like singular, but there's various forms of trafficking. So I'm going to turn it over to Jason Lisby. Brother Jason, thanks for coming this evening.
Thanks for having
you
me,
get
sir.
Get us started with the Shield of Valor organization.
Yes. Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Jason Lisby. I am the CEO of Shield of Valor Executive Protection. We are a veteran-owned, African-American-owned company that deals with various levels of security, stemming from diplomatic security all the way down to just event security or whatnot. But also we deal with cybersecurity, investigation, and intelligence gathering. All right. We are private investigators, majority of us on the executive team. And also we are military as well, military veterans as well. Myself and Stephen Pettis, we both serve in the United States Marine Corps, along with our CFO, who's not in attendance just yet, but her name is Beth Gamble Williams, and she's also a Marine. And we have our VP of Finance, which is Ms. Kumi Stevens, whom you all know already. So we, a little bit about myself, spent 14 years in United States military, from Navy, Army, and Marine Corps. I'm not going to get into that story because it's a long one. Come from military background on both sides of my family. While serving in the United States Marine Corps, I was right along with Steve as a firearm instructor. I was also in the infantry. I was attached to the recon units as a medic or corpsman, may have you. I was also part of the psychological operations division, and I'm also within the military intelligence division as well. Once I got out, I got into law enforcement as a federal police officer. And then from there, I went into the private sector as an executive protection diplomatic security agent for foreign governments. Then when I saw that, you know, people of my skin tone, you know, heavily melanated, wasn't able to get ahead, you know, in this industry, Steve and I decided, and along with another one of our business partners, decided to start our own company and put our skill sets together and become a reputable African-American owned security company, you know, right along with our counterparts, so to speak. So with that being said, I'm gonna turn it over to Steve so he can introduce himself. So Steve, floor is yours, brother.
I appreciate that. Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Stephen Pettis II. A little bit about myself. I was born and raised in inner city Detroit. That's where I'm from. I joined the Marine Corps. My job in the Marine Corps was infantry. I was an 0351. I dealt with different types of jobs as a javelin, breacher. It just kind of depend on the mission. I was in various different combat zones like Iraq and Afghanistan or whatnot. And then also, just like Jason said, I was also a combat marksmanship instructor, and that's where myself and Jason met at, became friends. And ever since then, we stayed in contact with each other. After I became a combat marksmanship instructor, I went back to the ground units, deployed a couple more times. And then I got out of the Marine Corps in 2012. And then I started working into the private sector, doing private security for the U.S. government, working at the U.S. embassies, from just working with contracting with U.S. State Department, the Department of Defense and the various different U.S. government contracts doing private security for the U.S. government. Shortly after that, just like Jason said, you know, we also wanted to have a Black American-owned executive protection company. So myself and Jason, we actually been talking about this since 2015. And when I was in Afghanistan, I came back and I, you know, told Jason that I was like, hey man, let's go ahead and get things started with things like myself and our other business partner, Lionel Clemens. We put our skill sets together because we all served in the United States Marine Corps together. And we start getting the proper license, the business license and everything else to start forming our company and stuff. So that way we can have, you know, our company as a representative for our community and start helping serving our community as well. So that's just a little bit about background on myself. I'm gonna turn it over to our VP of Finance, Ms. Kumi Stevens.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kumi Stevens. I am a retired Air Force financial manager. I've also been deployed to different combat locations, mainly the same ones that they have been in. So I'm very well versed in government colors of money, forensic accounting, data analytics, business analysts. All kinds of things like that. So that's what I'm trying to bring to the company as we work through, because you know we're going to be closely looked at. So we have to have run a tight ship. So that's what I'm trying to bring to this company as far as finances go. Also, we speak the same language, even though they're Marines and I'm in the Air Force. When it comes down to the ground units and all those things, we talk the same language. So that's pretty much where I'm coming from and why I'm here. I am from Compton, California, initially, so originally. As well. That's all I have.
Excellent. Okay, so now we want to get into the trafficking.
Yes,
So
sir.
who
Yes,
wants
sir.
to start talking about that?
I'll start. Let me see. Can I share? Am I allowed to share the on the screen?
Yes.
Okay, so let me go on and find my documents right now. All right, this is just a brief. All right, can everyone see this? Can
Yes.
everyone see the
The print is small, but we can see it.
Okay. I'll enlarge it. Hold on 1 second. Oh, that's too large. Okay, can we all see it now?
Yes.
Can everyone see it now?
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah.
Okay, so it says African American human trafficking numbers will astound you. 62% of human trafficking suspects are African American. And we're going to sit up there and we're going to dispel that this evening because that's a lie right there. 52% of all juvenile prostitution arrests are African American. Now, those numbers are true. 40% of victims of trafficking are African American. Human trafficking victims are typically poorly. Excuse me, typically poor and have a history of exploitation, okay? Substance or sexual abuse, learning disabilities, and inadequate support systems. All right, some argue that the demand for African Americans for sexual exploitation is higher than that of other races, and the penalties associated with trafficking, African Americans are less severe. In 2012, the United States Department of Justice reported that 62% of human trafficking suspects, including children and adults, are African American. Additionally, African American children make up 52% of all juvenile prostitution arrests. In many instances, these children are not prostitutes, they are victims. All right. And one of the things that we here at Shield of Valor, one of the things that we do, we are intelligence gatherers. And also, we are investigators as well into human trafficking, and it's complex, I guess you could say, network, so to speak. All right, and some of the things that we're going to go over is these are the different types of human trafficking. I'm going to enlarge this as well, gentlemen, so we all can see them. All right, let me know if you can see them. Can everyone see them?
Yes.
Okay. So the types of trafficking are service-based labor trafficking, industrial labor trafficking, informal economy labor trafficking, commercial front sex trafficking, formal and informal brothel sex trafficking, internet-based sex trafficking, and other sex trafficking. All right. Service-based labor trafficking involves hospitality, anything in the hospitality, landscaping, carnivals, health and beauty, cleaning services, sales crew, and restaurants. Victims in various service industries whose labor is exploited under the presence of actual or implied coercion, fraud or force with the assumption that they are bound to their jobs through involuntary servitude, forced labor, violence, peonage, or debt bondage. When we look at this, we're talking about mules and we're talking about coyotes. Mules are the people who owe the trafficker money. So instead of paying them forthright, they will use somebody's family member. They will go and recruit, so to speak. They'll go and recruit these individuals with promises of making a lot of money, but they're forced to do other things outside of that labor in the labor industry that they're recruiting them in. Okay, so within the African American community, we have runaways, which is a big issue that they're not saying anything about our youth in that aspect. And when we look at the modeling, we look at Instagram, we look at all social media platforms, and we see our children doing what? Twerking, right? We see them dancing. We see them listening to all sorts of music that draws them in to give them the illusion of a better life. Well, these are breeding grounds for trafficking to take place. So when these traffickers or the mules come in contact with these children, they're promising them the world or whatnot, but they're having them work in the hospitality. They're having them working in landscaping. We have our brothers and sisters of the Latino community that are in landscaping, and possibly some of them come over from across the border with promises of making more money. But the person that they are in league with is actually a mule working for a trafficker who they owe money to. So, hey, what do? Get this individual, bring them in, and promise them money, but they keep their passport, they keep their social security number, and they keep part of their check. And they only get paid pennies on the dollar to begin with. So these are some of the things that we got to deal with in the community as far as Black and brown individuals, you know, in today's society right now. So anybody have any questions so far?
Just a couple.
Okay. Go ahead,
Professor. How long have y'all been in operation?
We've been in operation since 2021. All right, and we've had two cases dealing with human trafficking as well. We're working on a current one right now.
When you say you had two cases, I mean...
Two of the cases that we had to work where there was a young lady whose mom was actually contacted by the mule. And we were on the phone with her while she was in contact with this gentleman. And with that information and intelligence that we were gathering, we passed it along to Department of Homeland Security, in which we do have a partnership with.
Is it a contractual partnership or just informal?
This isn't informal at the present moment until, you know, how that red tape goes when they have to do every type of background check on everybody in the company and make sure that everybody's legit. So this is what we're dealing with right now. But
So y'all use your investigative skills as investigators?
Yes, sir.
To seek out the information you need to track individuals participating in these forms of trafficking.
Yeah, there's a plethora of forms of trafficking. Even down there where Steve lives in Las Vegas right now, that's where majority of it happens. in Las Vegas and here in California. We know about, if you're familiar with California, you know about Figueroa. All right, you know about Figueroa Street, you know about Hawthorne, and there are other areas that basically everybody don't know about, but these areas are dealing with a heavy, heavy surge of trafficking that's going on right now.
In Hollywood, all
Oh,
you guys are
Hollywood,
spending
huge.
money.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's very prevalent in Hollywood.
That's right now. But I mean, what made y'all want to do that?
Steve and I saw some really horrific stuff overseas while in combat. And we saw that, there's a lot of it is a lot of it happens overseas, but what's going on at home? And that's when that whole situation with oh my goodness, the gentleman Tim Ballard, he was doing this before, working in the Department of Homeland Security. And it just so happens that majority of our children were trafficked. I'm talking about black, white, Asian, you name it. But from 100% of children that were trafficked, no one speaks about that 40% dealing with African American youth. And that's over a broad spectrum as well too. And we're going to go into that this evening if time permits us, allow us to do so.
I got one more question.
Go ahead,
You
Professor.
said that y'all do security for executives
Yes, sir.
and I guess high profile people.
Yes, sir.
So is that how y'all generate your income?
We generate our income in various ways. We also, like I said earlier, we do provide cybersecurity. We do provide investigations, and we do provide security services as well. So,
All three.
all three, yes, sir. All
Okay.
three.
Because I mean, investigative work is surveillance and getting people to get informants and do what you got to do is very costly. That's why I asked.
Yeah, it's costly. It's costly. And by us being African American, some of it's out of pocket. We all, we have jobs outside of this. So majority of it comes out of pocket, and it's stressful because, we don't want to get too far off the subject, but twice the company was about to be taken from us. People coming in talking about we'll invest this amount of money in here, and then they turn around and want 51% of the company. And by us being a veteran company, that will prevent us from getting any contracts with the government. So if we turn it over to a to a civilian, that's gonna pretty much obliterate any chances of us getting contracts.
Right.
So we had
When
to go ahead, Steve.
No, I was just agreeing. You go ahead, Professor.
Kimmy, is Kimmy still on?
I think so. I see her screen. Sumi, are you still there?
I'm here.
Kimmy, when I mean when you dealing with your finances and things of this nature, I mean, how you put a premium on your company? I mean, as far as how much it's worth. And then at the same time, the operating cost, I mean, how y'all do all that?
Well, I'll be 100% honest with you right now. That's what we're currently developing. All the operating costs and drilling down all the accounting to where each program has its own basically pool to pull from, but everything's broken down to the teeny tiny bit. Yes. So right now that's currently being developed.
All right. I know that handling finances and in the business y'all in, you got to be have a tight ship.
Yes.
Because they'll come after you for taxes. They'll come
Well,
after you.
she's the one that keeps us accountable. I will
All
say
right.
that.
All
She
right.
keeps us accountable. So I
Oh,
will
yeah.
say. She run a tight ship in her department. So hey, she keeps us accountable. Like, hey, what are you guys doing? Y'all need to do this and y'all need to do that. And we gotta, hey, we gotta step in line. You know what I'm saying? So
She said she was forensic accounting.
Yeah, so that's also going to come in handy when we're also trying to figure out how they're making money, where their money's coming from, how they supplying this thing that they have going on here, this network that they have. So that's also going to come into the handy when it comes down to that, infiltrating their financial operations.
That's good. Okay, that's it. I'll add some more later.
All right, is there Machinda, do you have a question or a comment? Okay, Brother Ahi.
No, I don't have a lot to say. It's obviously needed. I look around in my neighborhood. If I understand what you're saying correctly, I look in my neighborhood and I see the billboards and they're always signs. You look all the way up on the internet, you see all these young people. And it's a broad range from preteens up to early adulthood. The people are just missing. And so I, you know, if you deal with that part of the business, it's obviously needed.
And it becomes overwhelming, especially when your resources are limited, but we still stick with it because, you know, this is somebody's child. This is somebody's mother. This is my sister and aunt. So we got to work around the clock. We got to work extra hard in order to get the information needed and intelligence needed in order to pass it along to law enforcement to find this individual. Now, when it becomes an international situation where the individual was taken overseas, then that's where it becomes time sensitive then. Okay, that's where it becomes time sensitive. All right.
So that's not so uncommon? I mean, that's not uncommon to be, I mean, like to be taken like overseas, you say it so casually, like when it happens.
Oh no, not saying it casually as if it's, you know, it's
a common thing.
This is the common thing, but when it becomes an international incident, that's where things become limited for us. Even though we have the resources to travel overseas to get this individual, it's a lot of red tape that we have to go through, or what has to go through. And Steve can elaborate on that right now.
Yeah. To elaborate on that, it's definitely, that's one of the goals. I'm gonna say goals. One of the traffickers is trying to get them outside of, you know, United States, because the time, you know, frame. Because the time frame when some, especially, you know, someone from missing, trafficking, I'm gonna say, the trend tends to be connected, right? So it's very time sensitive, as far as like, because they change their tactics, they're moving them on it. So like, it's not like we can, you know, we can take our time doing this, because they're moving these individuals, these victims or survivors, around a lot, and they're, you know, they're changing, they're doing a lot of things that's going on, and the goal is to get them outside the United States, because that's where it becomes complicated at, because now you're dealing with international law, red tape, and then now it's going to be hard for the U.S. government or anything else, law enforcement entity, to get involved, because now it becomes an international incident. And once they're outside the United States, it's, you know, loose red tape. They're all over. It's like finding a needle in a haystack. And it becomes very complicated to locate them and all this other kind of stuff. So it's very time sensitive to that. Once we, you know, locate the individual, that we can move on this very quickly, because we don't know when the next time we can get a chance like that, especially once they get outside the United States.
It's literally a 72-hour window that we're working with.
Yep.
What type of markets are trafficked to? What why are these people trafficked, and to who?
Okay, when you have disenfranchised individuals that deal or live in poor neighborhoods, they come from a background, and what traffickers look at from what we have ascertained over the years, they go after homes that don't have dads in them. All right. And these are people that are pedophiles. These are people that are online on the dark web, monitoring our children and posing as children to draw them in. And they ask specific questions to these children about their household. Once the child lets them know that there's no father in the home, then that's when they start the grooming process. All right. They start asking them questions about the different ways they go home from school, or how late they stay up, or what type of games they're playing right now. Because even on the video games right now, these traffickers are now trying to lure the young men in now. Our young men are in trouble now, too. It's just not our young ladies. It's our young men, too. All right. So when these individuals, and I'm trying not to say nothing rude right now because we are online, but these sick people, they come up with different tactics in order to draw our youth in. And then that's how they lure them in with something that they're missing. If there's something missing in their life, then that's what they'll use as a ploy to gain access to them. And then once that happens, hey, all bets are off for that child. Not saying that there's nothing in place to save our children, but if they're not closely monitored by their parents or any guardian that's over them that really cares, then we're gonna have it. Then that's gonna be an issue.
Yeah. And to add to that,
at that moment.
Yeah. And to add to that, you know, some of the things, like I said, you know, pedophiles, there's some things that these traffickers and, you know, they do as far as like when, especially when the grooming process becomes, especially online with from social media, Facebook, Instagram, all of it, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, Twitch, there's all these kids. Apps, right? You got all these
chat,
you name it, they're on there, and they're pretending as a child, and they're trying to befriend your child, and then from that point they start the grooming process, like Jason said, whatever something is missing, you know, let's say you didn't buy them a pair of shoes, they're upset about that, then they get befriended, and then they try to buy them different types of gifts and everything else. And then other things that they look to try to start to do to have your child to send them exploiting pictures, sexually exploiting pictures of themselves. And then what they're doing is they'll start selling it to pedophiles, the black, to the dark web, all everywhere, right? And then now you got these people got explicit pictures of your child because now they didn't try to manipulate your child into sending them explicit pictures. And then from that point, they would try to, you know, try to get meet up with your child. Or even if they get bold with it, they'll come to your house.
Come to your front door.
They come to your front door.
A gentleman did that already.
You know,
a brother had did that already.
So
was online with the child and came to the child and wanted to play a video game. Luckily, the mother stopped him at the door like, how'd you even get my information? But that's a story for another day.
Right.
Okay. Miss Beth Gamble Williams, she just arrived. So do you guys want to get her to say a few things?
Yes, we're going to introduce. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our CFO, Ms. Beth Gamble Williams of Texarkana, Texas. So can you please introduce yourself, Gunny, to the gentleman in attendance on this evening and the lady on this evening? I'm sorry, ma'am. I see you, Ms. Angie. Ms. Angela.
Yes, good evening, everyone. My name is Beth Gamble Williams. I'm from the great state of Texas, in a place in a four-state area called Texarkana. I'm an athlete and also an honor student. Joined the military in Houston, from Houston, Texas, after spending 6 years out there, as they say, sowing my oats, and I started my modeling career there. But that's where I joined the military, the Marine Corps, at in Houston, Texas. And it's been a great adventure ever since then. I wanted to go in and get my degree. My mother told me I had to hurry up and get my degree, so I did. Those 4 years is all it took, but then that other 16 years was fun. So I had a good chance to see the world and start my business inside of the military, and made some history while I was in there too. But had a great time becoming a private investigator while I was there. We have a lot of military that still to this day, especially minorities that need help, veterans that need benefits that our counterparts are getting, you know, after they just stay in 2 and 3 years and they are dropouts. So we've got military in there that are, you know, higher education graduates and not getting any percent of their benefits. So we're helping with that and a mental portion of it. But while I was in there, got a chance to meet great Marines like my brothers here that have been out there and been in these wars and have fought in each one of the last three major conflicts that we've had. So want to say hello to everyone. And my background is in not only dispersing finance, but I also was a recruiter, and I also did a lot of the work with the youth in the community, especially the at-risk youth, through what we call CASA, Corner Point of Special Advocacy. So hello.
Excellent resume everybody have. Okay, you want to talk some more about the trafficking, Jason, Stephen, and Kumi? And
thank you.
We're going to go to what is this? Formal. Steve, you want to take this one? The formal? No, not formal. This is informal economy, labor trafficking.
You go ahead, because I think it froze on my end. I'm not for sure.
Okay, I'll take it. I'll go. All right, informal economy, labor trafficking. Victims of informal labor trafficking are trafficked by individual families or informal business networks. All right, and this has to deal with peddling and begging victims of pets. Oh, Lord, I hate this. It says, peddling and begging, victims of peddling or begging, trafficking are forced, threatened, coerced to beg as an individual or falsely pose as seemingly legitimate charities in the street. They're often from poor backgrounds, as we stated before, and contributions are confiscated. That means that sometimes you see out there people with family members, a mother or their her child, or who's not their child, go and use their child to beg. And once they get the amount of money that they have asking for, they take that money from them. Illicit services, we know that deals with brothels, that deals with street level gang, drug dealing, smuggling drugs or humans across the borders, and general gang activity. All right, we have there's a gang, I don't know if everybody familiar with them, they're called the MS-13. They were very, very prevalent in trafficking until it was brought to surface about 6 years ago. All right. And street level drug dealing, smuggling drugs or whatnot, they were part of that, of course. We have gangs here in California that do the same thing, from Latino, Asian to African American to Polynesian. We all have that going on right there. And then they'll have a side hustle, so to speak, of having the women in their game either be strippers or escorts. And that's how they also make money there as well, too. All right, domestic work, we know that we have nannies, elder care, and housekeeping. So when we have a high net worth family that we're working for, or someone is working for, all right, they'll promise them the amount of money that they're asking for. But once they get on the inside, they'll take that money and pay them half or pennies on the dollar and threaten them, especially if they're illegal, threaten them with deportation. They'll threaten them with not providing services for their families. They'll also coerce them into sexual harassment or sexual favors in this aspect or whatever, just to keep their job or to keep them from being deported. These are all dealing with illicit activities of these business owners or high net worth families that bring in outside help. All right, so that's that whole thing in a nutshell right there. All right, then we have commercial sex fronts. So these are all brothels. These are all the clubs, bars, cantinas, and massage parlors. All right, so I'm not going to stay too long on in this. I'm just going to explain all of them. The victims are coerced into the sex and sexual industry. All right, so these are the individuals that are part of the porn industry or the escort services. All right, but they'll get these young people out of the parlors. They'll get them out of massage parlors. They'll get them out of bars and clubs and strip clubs. Okay, so we're gonna go further here. Steve, is your computer?
No, it's. I mean, I still see you guys. I still see everybody, but what you're sharing is frozen. I only see the first part. Which you initially put up?
Okay. Same there. So everybody, wait. So who all can see what I'm talking about? Who can't see what I'm talking about?
I can't.
You can? Okay.
I can't.
I don't see it. I don't see it.
That's strange.
Yeah, you still have the initial information up that you started with.
Right.
So the slide number 7. No one can see slide number 7?
No.
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 Let me go back. Let me see. Okay. You see this one? Types of human trafficking?
No.
No.
No, I don't see it.
It's just two paragraphs up there.
Yeah. I'd say we can just kind of discuss it.
You can continue to move on.
Yeah, we'll discuss it because, oh my gosh. All right, so what we were talking about, just stop. Yeah, stop sharing. What we were talking about is the brothels, and we're done with that one. Anyone have any questions about those?
I have a couple questions.
Go ahead, Professor.
What is the definition of, I'm trying to capitalize the definition of trafficking and separate.
Professor Ryan?
Yeah.
Can you hold a second, please? I want to see, are they still on? Like Genji? Genji is here. I wanted to see if she had any question.
Oh, Genji.
she's, we see her. How you doing, Miss Genji?
You're on mute. Do you have any questions or comments so far, Genji?
I'd like to say greetings in the name of everything good. I'm so glad and honored to be receiving this information. I have no questions because everything that is being said is cut and clear.
Yes, ma'am.
And I, being the mother of 4 children, the grandmother of 9, I feel it is my responsibility to speak with them and ask them what are they doing when they're on this tiki-taki and all the things that these young people do. It's just to continue interacting with them.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much for sharing this information, because I sure will share with my grandchildren. Their ages are 15, 13, 12, 9, 6, and believe you me, the 3-year-old can swipe and find what he wants on the web as well.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Oh, man, yes, we do.
Unbelievable. These COVID babies are a whole different breed.
They're something else. Yes, I got
it. They are a whole different breed.
I know. I have grandchildren myself, so yeah.
Unbelievable how quickly and how swiftly I am technologically challenged. I mean, it's only because I was on here yesterday that I knew how to get to the mic. But it's a challenge. It sure is. And it keeps my little brain active. Mm-hmm. But I really appreciate the cut and clear information that you're sharing this evening. So thank you, beloved my beloved brothers and my sister.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Most welcome. Most welcome, Ms. Jinji.
Very welcome.
And we're also, we're going to talk about the internet-based, like cyber-based trafficking as well. So, Steve, you want to take that one, brother?
Yeah, I'll go ahead. You know, like Jason said, with the internet-based, you know, a lot of times, like I was mentioned before, it's part of the grooming part, right? And they pretend, you know, it's different variants, but this is just one of the ways what they do is they pretend as if they are a child themselves. And they basically, at the end of the day, try to befriend your child, try to gain their trust. And then once they start gaining your child's trust, then they will start trying to ask them to send them explicit pictures. So this is some indicators that, you know, you definitely want to start paying attention, you know, as much as can. A lot of it, you know, situation awareness with your child. We understand, you know, people work. We all have to work to make ends meet. You got to pay the bills and stuff. So, but if you see different things as far as behavior, behavior wise, and they're looking to, they're always on their device. All the time, but also if they're looking to be alone or they're sneaking to be alone, if they're sneaking into like the bathroom or going to the closets or they're, you know, a little bit concerned about you, wonder where their whereabouts at as far as like, you know, just around the house, like, oh, well, why are you following me around the house? You know, there's right. Certain things like that, you know, just some type of just, you know, behavior things changing in your subtle behaviors is changing in your child. There's a possibility that someone is trying to get your child to send them explicit pictures of themselves, because what one of the things they're looking to do, like I said, they're sending you know pictures to the trafficker. They're selling it on a dark web, you know, just right. A number of things that they're doing. So now someone at the end of the day, if they're sending to traffickers and these pedophiles and everything else, one of the things that's happening is that someone is bidding on your child. Someone's mm-hmm. bidding. They're, you know, they're saying, hey, you know, that person, you know, that child, you know, that's what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And then the trafficker will try to, you know, try to, you know, meet up with your child and everything else, or, you know, get them alone, meet them somewhere. And then next thing you know, some bad things could possibly happen. You know, we want to prevent them from doing that, because once they get, you know, try to kidnap them, then that's where it becomes very seriously, because they're moving around consistently. And we, you know, it's hard to find them and pinpoint them, mm-hmm. Especially once they get outside the United States. So,
right.
You know, if you want to add anything to on that, Jason, you can too as well.
Right. So these are the things you look for. If they become apprehensive, when you ask them a question about what's going on their devices, that's a sign that someone has gotten to your child and they are asking them, or they're prepping them, or prepping to ask them for these illicit photos of themselves. If they are, if you see something new as far as something that you didn't buy and something that they always wanted and is now in their possession, it so happens that someone had got a hold of them and gave them the money to buy that just to lure them in, okay? If they're coming home at a certain hour, now we know we have teenagers, you know what I'm saying, that want to be, try to be slick nowadays with certain things. But if you have a teenager that has been outgoing all their life with you, then all of a sudden that it has changed, be mindful of the company that they keep. Because sometimes these traffickers can use children too to lure them in. So if these are new individuals in their lives that you are not comfortable with or anything like that, please make a note of these people. Ask your children about them. If they become apprehensive about who they are, then more than likely, these individuals are a coyote for a mule. And a coyote is basically someone who's like an agent that's looking for certain people. They're looking for a certain type of person that they can present to the mule that's working for the trafficker. All right. So be mindful of all of this stuff. And if you can, get parental control over everything that they have. It does not matter what it is. We're developing an app where they allow parents to monitor their children. Now, they say that it's an invasion of privacy, but I don't care. If I'm paying for it, it's my business. All right. If you're using my electricity to plug it up, if you're using my lights and gas and all this other stuff, I have a right to know what you're doing on this device. Because I am not about to sit up there and go to jail for somebody doing something sick that they ain't got no business doing, and you're not telling me about it. All right, so this is why we are giving this information, because our children, 40%, that's too much. 60% of the other children, yes, but there's divided within the other races. But 40% of trafficking victims are our children, and they're not being put out there online. They're not giving a voice about, okay, this child is missing. We need to get the community together to find this child. There's no outcry for our children. All right? No outcry, none whatsoever. And we're about to dispel the whole thing about black men are the number one trafficker. No, we're not. No, we're not. And this has to stop, really. There's too many of our young women are missing or whatever. And then we go into what's called organ trafficking after that. They're being trafficked for their organs. They're being trafficked for the melanin. Our melanated skin is a gold mine for these people. So where do you get all, where do you get the DNA? The organs. And then you never hear from these people again. So it is our campaign here at Shield of Valor to prevent this from happening in our communities. We give symposium, we give education on this. We also offer self-defense tactics. This right here alone right now, if you see this going out, you see the number 4 and then someone's fist is closed, that means help. So basically we have to have our neck on the swivel right now. Any questions, anybody so far?
Professor Rob?
Yes. Help me understand what is a what is a simple definition of trafficking? Because to me, it's kidnapping or exploitation or some other terms, criminology terms. But when you say trafficking,
okay, so to simplify it,
most people think it's about drugs.
No, sir. No, yeah. Sir. Not at all. Mm-hmm. Has nothing to do with drugs. To simplify, but go ahead.
What you were saying is that, you know, y'all focus mostly on children. Because
we focus on everybody.
Yeah, because it seems like the majority of the trafficking are young adults.
They are. Yes. It is.
Okay.
It is. And to simplify, trafficking is basically a show of coercion, force, and fraud to lure someone in. That's what trafficking basically is. So even pimps are considered traffickers right now.
So it's really an add-on to a crime.
Yes, sir.
In other words, you mess with somebody's kid, take them, and then...
Mm-hmm. And then you tell them? Yeah, that's trafficking.
All right.
Even there's another thing called familial trafficking, too.
What about people that volunteer to be exploited?
Now with that, as far as are you talking about in the sex industry, sir?
In any kind of way. Some people say, look, I'll come over here and work, just get me into the country. Get me out of this situation.
It's still trafficking, so to speak. Because if they're looking for a better life and someone is telling them, oh, well, you can do this over here or whatnot, unbeknownst to them, they're being trafficked. If they're asking for a way to come over here without going through the proper legal channels, that is a form of trafficking as well, too, because especially if someone agrees to bringing them over here under the radar and not giving them the proper visas, the proper work visa, and the applications for citizenship, then that person is operating illegally and they're trafficking this individual.
My last question is, each of your people in the company are military in some form, some aspect.
Yes, sir.
What made each, I'm asking each of you to tell me, because see, I'm from the street. And we used to take the Boy Scouts knives and find out where they went out and packed food and buried stuff and taken stuff. And I never even, I always want to know what made you volunteer to go to the different branches of services. And the reason I ask that is because I understand people go there for education and try to get more out of the service than it gets out of them. But I hear y'all talking about y'all serving in Afghanistan, y'all serving over here in military combat. I want to know, what were y'all thinking? Was it parental, following your parents who may have been in the military? Or was it just frustration that I said, I'm going to go here? I mean, what for each of you, I just want to know. Please.
All right. No.
I wouldn't join the Boy Scouts. So, so please help me.
Well, my dad, I come from a long line of military individuals on both sides of the family. And it dates all the way back to Hannibal and ISIS. My mom's side of the family, they were descendants of the Cabal, which is the bodyguards for the king and queen. And they were generals in the military. All right. Unfortunately, I am a great nephew of General Robert E. Lee. I'm not proud of that, but I am his great nephew. One of his half brothers. All right. If you ever heard of Yusuke, I'm a descendant of him as well. The first black and only black samurai. Because my dad's side of family is from Senegal and Japan. So military is in my blood, all right? And I didn't join the military because it was just so fun or anything like that, or because it was in my blood. I dare someone to come over here and mess with my family. And I'm talking about black people. I'm not talking about anybody else. I'm talking about black people.
Anybody.
I'm talking about black people right now because we're the most underserved race in the world right about now. And people view us as less than. And I had to go over to Kenya and remind them brothers over there that I'm just as intelligent as you are.
Well, they were talking about white people. Most of them got education.
I can care less about them right about now. Mm-hmm. I love them, but I can care less about what they say, anything like that. I'm just saying, like, right now, as far as my people is concerned, I'm trying to change the narrative as far as my people is concerned. Mm-hmm. You know, we're viewed a certain way, so we at Children Valley, we're about to change that narrative. Pretty much. And I served in the military. Yes, I love the way my ancestors looked in their uniforms, especially my great uncles who served in the 54th and my great uncles who were Tuskegee Airmen. I love the way they looked in their uniform, the way my dad looked in his uniform. But it's just something in me to be a protector. And that's in my genetics as a protector. So that's why I joined. Gunny first. I'm sorry. Gunny, go ahead.
Well, I too come from a long line of military people. Fortunately, they were all males, and I'm the first female that they're allowed to join the military. Coming from a background too, I have a great one in my family as well. Our great chief, he was a general who rode alongside General Andrew Jackson. He was there in the War of 1812. Of course, you would never hear anything about him, but he is the Black Choctaw chief who is buried in the most prestigious cemetery we have in America, the Congressional Cemetery. And our great chief, Black Chief, he's buried there. I'm the first Marine. All the rest of them were Army, Navy, Air Force, but I'm the first Marine and the first female that they allowed. My mother wanted to, my mother was a rebel too. She was back there with Gloria Aldridge and all of them, but she wanted to always join, they wouldn't let her. And so I guess she saw her dream through me, but she always pushed the military and she married a military man. So, I enjoyed the military. You get to see the world. That's one thing that she put into my head. And the other thing is, she's like, you can see the world free. You know, they're going to pay for everything. Your education, your da 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 da, you know, you can get it all. And she was pushing because I wanted to be a model. And my mother's like, not trying to hear that nonsense. She wanted me to have that foundation under me, that education. That's one thing we push in my family is that education. So once I saw a way to get around that and have what I wanted to, I was like, okay, if I can do 4 years in this thing called the Marine Corps, I'll do it. But I was going to go in the Air Force, but that particular day, that little circle they had for lunch, the Air Force was out for lunch, and I guess the Lord had it to where that Marine Master Sergeant Dorsey, Simon Dorsey, was leaning there, and he got me that day, and I went in. Yeah, I'll never forget him, Simon Dorsey. Matter of fact, I came from a modeling show. I came right out of a modeling show and went down there because my mom wasn't nothing to play with, so I had to make sure I got that done. But the rest is history. I went in an open contract, which was great because I scored so high in math and typed so fast, I got into the finance field and got to see a lot of the computers get started and created. So that was a great thing for me. And I never looked back, never looked back.
Yeah. For myself, when maybe joined, just like they were saying, you know, as far as with my history, actually, I come from, you know, especially here in the United States, of Black American Pocahontas, the Black Native tribe, Pocahontas, is in my family history. But, you know, not only just a protector, but warrior spirit. But one of the things, I grew up in the inner city of Detroit, and there's something, you know, I want to say heading in the wrong direction. But yeah, I was going down that route. And my cousin was in the Marine Corps. He inspired me to join the military. That's one of the things. And like Jason said, you know, wanted to be a protector or whatnot, and wanted to challenge myself, going to the toughest branches. Of all of the branches in the United States, which is the United States Marine Corps. So I took on that challenge. And, you know, so, but yeah, that's the one of the things I joined, you know, not only, you know, say better myself, but I think, you know, joining the military helped gain some structure. I'll say sense of direction and stuff. What are the things I'm doing, you know, instead of getting the troubles out there in the street in Detroit. It helps, you know, help for guiding. Now, there are some ups and downs in the military, but overall, I definitely enjoyed my service and the time that I spent in the United States Marine Corps.
What about Pee-Me?
Kumi?
Pee-Me.
Yeah, Kumi's Air Force. That's our Air Force. There she is.
Hey. Yes, yeah, so I'm just going to kind of piggyback off of Gunny and Steven. I have a whole little modeling thing going on. I was going to Long Beach State. I was anxious. And I was wanting to get away. I was still kind of hanging around with kids from high school. And I grew up in a really, really strict household, single parent mother who was an educator. So she told me, she said, you know what? You're going to the military. I said, okay. Of course, I'm still rebelling a little bit at this time, but she wanted me to go to the Air Force, and I tried to make her mad. So I went to the Army, I went to the Marine, I went to everybody else first. And I'm the first person in the Air Force in my family. However, my grandfather is a World War II vet in the Army. I had an uncle in the Army, and I had a cousin in the Navy, and had a female cousin in the Army. They all told me, go to the Air Force. So that's what I did. I love it. I've seen the world, blood, sweat, and tears, a lot of tears, a lot of blood, a lot of sweat. But I only planned to do 4 years. And after that first 4 years, just I could not let it go. It stuck with me because at this point in time in my life, I can actually credit the Air Force for who I have become. Same with Gunny. I was scored so high on tests. They said she could do anything in this book. So I went in open general, and I ended up in a financial management career field. And it has served me very well throughout my whole time. And the way I care about people, protecting people, making sure everybody knows what they have available to them, and just bringing everybody in and up is what I learned, not only from my upbringing, but also the Air Force. And also, like, and we're all also, like, indigenous as well. So we have that coming through our soul. It bleeds through our borders. And I would never look back. I never look back, and I won't. It's the best decision I ever made.
Yeah, I want to thank each and every one of you for your service and for your your role y'all play in protection. But it's just a beautiful thing. I have a sister that went in the Air Force, and she went on to become a pharmacist after it. Our Air Force paid for that. I have a niece that's a surgeon, and she was in the Navy, and they paid for it. But those are the only two people in our big family that went to the service, in the immediate family. And I just wanted to know, because, you know, you hear so much about the noblism that y'all are doing is different. This is outside the service. You're taking your service skills and trying to do good with regards to exposing trafficking and human exploitation and abuse. And as Jason said, from all ages. But at the same time, it's just that for many of us in the streets, you know, the military was something that, you know, you just don't think about going to Brother Street. But y'all come from military background and family members, so you saw the good in it, and based upon the track record your family members had. So I can understand that, you know, and I appreciate what y'all have done and appreciate what you're doing. It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of challenges trying to deal with the human exploitation and abuse. Because right now at the border, you know, they're talking about sending all these immigrants back who are not documented. And many of them, and they're trying to get rid of, if you're born in the USA, you ain't a citizen if your parents were not citizens.
The birthright, yes.
That's what he's trying to do. How do y'all feel about that?
I don't think it's fair, really.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair.
Because I have a lot of family members and that come from the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And I don't appreciate the gesture. I mean, it's so intricate, because you have those that come from Cuba and they get a whole different treatment than everybody else, you know. All they have to do is touch one foot on U.S. soil, and they get, in 1 year, they have everything.
That's a Eurocentric Cuban.
As long as they have that Cuban passport, they get right away. But everybody else from I want to say, for the lack of a better word, third world countries, Rastafari, they get Rast. It's ridiculous. But the reality is right now, what are the some people call him Trumpas? He's gonna go after the Latinos first, because that's all he sees. There's other people that's gonna get caught up in the mix. I was in New York not too long ago, and wow, that place is gonna get wiped out. But he's gonna go after the Spanish-speaking countries first. To me, that's the perception I get from him. But no, I don't like it at all. And his wife is from another country. He's so stupid.
He is an immigrant.
I'm surprised to him. Remember that.
He is so stupid. I mean, he must have mental health issues for real, all of them.
They do.
Well, they really do. They really do. His mother is Irish descent. Her last name is McLeod. And, you know, our name is Irish descent. So he, as far as stupidity, on the dad's side, they're all immigrants. They're immigrants themselves. So how are you going to come from somewhere and tell somebody it's just, like you said, total stupidity on their part. It really is.
It's so plain. And as far as our community, we always knew their laws were fuckery. So we're not surprised.
Yeah.
Oh, what about their wife? It's no surprise to me. And, you know, in fact, the brother said, Brother Jason said earlier that he was just focusing on our community. And this is what I tell my sons, you know, I don't want to hear about what the white man is doing. Those fuckers brought us here in the belly of a ship. Why are you surprised? We need to focus on I and I on make sure we all have passports.
Yes.
Right now we need passports. Then we can work towards the destination, because it's obviously shit is going to hit the fan. We all see it coming. Don't you see it coming?
Well, yeah, we do. And that's one reason we as Black people, especially the female side of it, we want to make sure these children, when they take them, wherever they take them, I want them to see a Black face in that high position on a federal level. Because that just doesn't happen a whole lot. So on state level and federal level, it's not happening. At the county level, you might be able to get one or two of us in there. But still, you got the state folks that's over there. So they play that hierarchy out here in the civilian, we call it the silly villains, the civilian world. But when we get out, when we're there, they do not like to see somebody like me and Kumi, especially a big old guy like Jason, with a badge as a federal person, because we're already military. The minute we said give our oath to the Department of Defense, we're automatically federal, period. Yeah, so they don't understand that, and they cannot stand it when we come out and we still have that title. They're just county employees.
But what I'm saying, beloved, I hear the honor
to be able to help our people and make sure they see us there. Because what I'm telling you, when they're taking them, when they got them at federal level, it's not a whole lot of brown skinned people that are there on that level.
Yeah, I feel like America, hello. You know, that's what we already know. This is 2025, and I am not surprised. You're not surprised. Maybe it's not so much seeing them on a certain level or seeing them a different destination. Begin traveling and understanding, because I feel like I'm a traveler. I've been privileged to travel.
Yeah.
And every time I travel, whether it's nationally or internationally, it's always a new perspective. And the solutions that we need, I love y'all. You're my people, but it's not in our old asses. Okay, the solution has got to come from the youth. And if the youth are not exposed, we're all fucked.
I agree with you.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
No, I agree with you. And you're right.
And even though you're talking about the honor and certain things, these fuckers don't appreciate
Jinjay,
honor.
Jinjay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This got to go on YouTube. Don't play.
It's like I'm 66 now. I was 16 when I walked in Ross class. I was a 16 size 6. You stay there. That's a visual.
Yeah, go ahead, Rasaki.
Yeah, but see, you know, this information is so
important.
Oh, I mean, it's You know, I didn't know what to expect, but I'm glad that we have this team here because we need this information desperately. And we, yeah, this is excellent. I really appreciate what you do. And I don't have too many words to explain how important this is. So is there anything you all want to leave us with before we go? And then also, if there's something that wasn't covered, we can definitely schedule you guys again to do another show.
Okay. You can reach us at Shield of Valor Shield of Valor EP.com. And also you can get in touch with us at valorelite21@gmail.com as well. That's VALOR ELITE 21@gmail.com. And I'll actually put it in the chat as well too. So that way everybody. Okay.
I'm just glad to have military people conscious enough to take on this challenge and get into that trafficking issue, because many of the people that's being abused are African American, and so are African, are Caribbean, Belize, and Haiti's and Jamaicans and those, because there are a lot of brothers and sisters that's here that don't have papers, and they were born here and their mother and fathers didn't have papers. They just was working, but cab drivers doing this and doing that and raising a family. And so this mass deportation may affect them, but the importation of them illegally to exploit their labor, exploit their bodies and minds. I'm just glad we have some brothers and sisters with the skills and knowledge and desire to try to expose this and correct it as much as you can. And I hope y'all grow and become an international organization.
I'll be playing that too.
Solitary.
I heard everything.
Yeah. I have to get that information up there just in case somebody wanted to see it.
Yes, sir.
And
yes.
That's one of my favorite pastimes to get at that solitaire. I play the most difficult one and I win. So
I would like to maybe have this presentation on a level for, let's say, young teens, and each one of us bring a teen to this presentation, and let we know their little attention spans are TikTok-y, but still, maybe we can give them a 15 to 20 minute presentation, and then they will ultimately, it'll be like a pebble in the river. Yeah, you see what I mean? And they can take that, because as I was saying, we the old folks. Nobody ain't coming for us.
You'd be surprised, though.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
You'd be very surprised. They can't get up. We too smart. They're not coming for us, It's the next person they coming for,
Right. But yes. we offer symposiums as well, too.
And for young people, we could actually... Yes. Put together a show like that. So let's talk offline about it and put something together.
Kumi has something to say.
I do. It's not to take away from the current subject at hand, but while we're on the president and his executive orders, he recently laid off or put over 100,000 federal employees on administrative leave paid who are considered DEI. So I think we know where this is heading.
Yeah.
She was saying
earlier. Yeah, I heard that.
Right.
Now we really, really have to be on our P's and Q's, and we have to get this done because he is coming for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And see, and this is part of the reason why we started the company Shield of Valor, because people that we have to start protecting ourselves. Our people and our community.
Yeah, we got to know the law, because we are the law.
Yep, because the only people that's going to look out for us is us.
Right.
And so this is part of the reason why we created this company, so we can protect our people, protect our community. Not to say we're not going to be doing things for other communities, but you know, within the Black community, our community is, like Jason said earlier, there's no voice for us. No one's looking for our people, our children, man, woman, child. No one's, our children coming up missing. They're just missing. No one's really lifting a finger to really, they're doing a bare minimum. You know, when other, you know, especially particularly pop, other people come up missing, they got whole search parties for them, right? They're using all kind of outcry media, you name it. But when our people is missing, it's crooked or the bare minimum, right? So this is why Shield of Valor is part of the reason why we're existing, is to protect our people, to protect our community. Because not only just children, it's men, boys, men, girls, and women are being trafficked.
Yeah.
All of the above.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I'll turn over the floor if anybody else wants to speak.
Okay.
Well, I rest.
If any more questions, no questions.
Well, this has been excellent information, and definitely want to continue the collaboration to move us forward. Definitely want to do that. Next week, Professor Ra, we're still doing the History of the Black Studies program on Tuesday. From 1969 to 2004, correct?
Yeah, but we're going to phase two. We'll be dealing with 70 to 75 next Tuesday. But it's about the Black movement period of that period, but that influenced the student activism. And you got to remember, these brothers and sisters put their lives on the line because they shot students at Kent State and they shot students at Jackson State. Mm-hmm. And arrested many of them and incarcerated many students for demonstrating for justice. So I'll be looking forward to phase two. And we had a good one last night. And Jen Jay, we really appreciate your input. And we're going to just rock and roll it all the way through Black History Month.
Okay, so now, next Wednesday, we're starting another podcast series called Roots Reggae Reasoning Session. And I thought Jen Jay would like this.
Boom, boom, boom.
So this brother has been on Brother Clata Bumbo, and he's an excellent roots reggae artist, and he's highly intelligent. So that's next Wednesday. We're going to start a new podcast series. So I'm looking for other reggae artists to come on and we talk about the significance of roots reggae music, because it is very significant to me. So that's what we have going on next Wednesday. And with that, we're going to do our pause. So each one to each one in Conscious Corner. Everybody continue to have a great evening or day.
And remember, y'all are always welcome to come back or just listen in to some Zoom cast. We discuss critical issues affecting the African American community.
Well, we are all Choctaw Indians, so I told him, you know, as a Choctaw Native American, those of us especially know our heritage back at least 200 and 300 years. I've got 500 years under my belt, and I know Jason. You know, he's got his family and with General Lee, and then we got Stephen Pettus Bridge ancestor up there. He's Choctaw as well. So I think we can have some interesting discussions with y'all. And mine is buried up there, as I said, in the Congressional Cemetery. They don't even know a Black Choctaw chief general is lying up there. But we have to pass our own information on that we know as storytellers. So think about the genealogy of our people.
That's why we call it Community Education Network.
Yep, they got to learn who they are. It's beyond the grandmama.
Right.
Right. Well, excellent. We will take our pause.